Man, we have a family here with us today, all the way from Atlanta, Georgia. We're so excited for the Thompsons. And let me just tell you how we first met. Then I'll call them up here, and they can do whatever they want. They have the liberty. They are friends and even family of this house. And we're so honored to have Scott, Lacey, and their daughter, Ava. They have two other sons and even a daughter-in-law and, like, lots of things going on in their lives. But how we met Scott, my brother Matt and our worship team, entire worship team, years ago, I don't even know how many years ago, maybe like 9+ years ago, may have even been a dozen. But anyway, went to a Jesus Culture event, I believe in Cincinnati, and Scott was the main speaker in activating people at Jesus Culture. And he was talking about hunting. My brother comes back, he's like, I heard the coolest guy, I think we'd like him. And he hunts. I'm like, okay. So we knew some connection, a friend of a friend, and ended up contacting, I think, knew he went to the church that Leif and Jennifer went to. And we're like, hey, we'd love to see if he'd come speak for us, and we think we might like each other. And she somehow got his number, and I persistently called him. And finally we talked, I think I was at IKEA, and we were talking on the phone. And ever since then, and when we met and he came here, or somehow we met in person, I forget our first time ever meeting, but we have traveled the world together, we have done ministry together, we've hunted together, and man, we've had a lot of great time and stories, and just, he's become a friend that I can confess everything to, and he's a mutual friend of my brother and I, and we went turkey hunting this week, and Scott got a turkey. So, I think he usually likes to speak down here. Is that accurate?
I'll probably both.
All right. We can call whoever up. I don't care who's coming. Scott, Lacey. If Ava's going to preach today, that's cool too. Not happening. But I got you a gift. And you can open it in front of the church. It's a little gift that I was able to get in a short period of time.
You did it. Come on.
Now he gets to mount his turkey feathers. So... anyway, can you just stretch your hands out to Scott and Lacey and Ava? We're going to bless them now. We usually do this after church, but I don't know how he's going to end and finish. You just never know with this guy. But here you go. And Lord, we just thank you for the Thompsons. We thank you for their friendship. We thank you for their covenant. And Lord, we thank you for who they are in you. And God, we thank you for their love for you. And we just bless them and their coming and going. And again, we just declare Deuteronomy over them, that they'll be blessed in the city and the country where they live. Definitely in Atlanta, in the highways, yeah. But in the country, Lord, that they'll be ahead and not to tail, lender, not the borrower, Lord, top, not bottom. And Jesus, we just declare all these things, and we thank you for them, and we bless the rest of this service. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Love you, man.
Love you, too.
Yay. Hey, it's good to be here. I'm excited to be here. This is awesome. Thank you. I appreciate that. What a good-looking group of people, and so many of you, you know, we share stories with, and I just really love this house. This is, most honestly, my favorite house on the planet. I can say that with all honesty. There's no other that compares to this for me, and just our family and our heart and everything. You guys have always welcomed us with not just open arms, but with, like, joy and expectation. It's so good to be here. I don't think... Yeah, thanks. And you clap at everything, which for me just feels like I'm doing something right. I don't know what. One of the other things I appreciate too is like we found this little, thank you, little country church by us. And the first time we went, I told Lacey, I'm wearing a hat because I just wear my hat all the time, I guess now. And I'm pretty attached to wearing hats. And it's easy. And I said, babe, if we go and we can't have tattoos, and I can't wear my hat, then we're just going to go home, right? And she's like, absolutely, because that means a lot to me, because it kind of, like, sets the temperature of what the body's like, right? Like, if me wearing a hat or not wearing a hat is more important than me being there, then probably I don't want to be there, right? And if I get judged because I have tattoos and nobody understands that my tattoos are all prophetic and words that the Lord's given me, and they just judge me because I've got art on my body that they don't like, then I probably don't want to be there, right? Because it's not an open arm church. This place is beautiful. And I wanted to wear a hat this morning, but I thought, I haven't fixed my hair in probably a year. I don't know. Just for real. I don't work in I work in the trade, so I don't have to fix my hair. I can wear a hat all day. And Matt and Aaron both, I asked Matt, and I was like, hey, what do you think about me? I mean, do people wear hats at your church? And he's like, yeah, there'll be a few, and I appreciate it. Thank you. Yeah, come on, there's that. And I said, what do you think about me wearing one when I speak? And he's like, yeah, go for it. And then Aaron's like, last night, I don't even think I asked you. You're like, hey, wear a hat if you want. And I was like, this is awesome. Yes, not just to be here and wear a hat, but to be up here and wear a hat. I'm like, I feel right at home. And I think I haven't spoke since last time I was here. Have we? Was Dave's before or after last year? Yeah, so I haven't spoke since I was here last year. And I used to speak on average three times a week, four times a week, sometimes more, sometimes 12 times a week, no joke, like unbelievable amounts because our school and church and traveling and all that. And so now this is very strange for me to be up here. I'm telling you, very strange for me to be up here. It feels so weird. And I wrestled over a message, and I ditched it, and then it came back, and then I threw it away. And nobody took out the trash, apparently, because it's still here. And I was so unconfident. There was a lack of confidence in me towards this message until this morning. And I'll tell you what, is it Lisa? Your painting just... God, I cry every time I'm here, you guys. This is ridiculous. That's one thing about this house that I'm... Can we change that a little bit? Because, good Lord, I haven't cried in a while either for sure. Oh, maybe... But your painting just, golly, just gave me the confidence to speak what the Lord gave me, because it's exactly, I mean, just perfect. Thank you for being obedient. And Nicole even said, man, we haven't had any painting in a few weeks probably, right? And so she wasn't even sure anybody, but it was just like, Lacey said, look what it is. And I looked up there and I was just like, oh my gosh. And so thank you, because not only were you obedient to the Lord and expressing your gift, but it just... extended confidence for me to get up here and actually speak a message, because the way messages work with me is I try to put them together. That never works, because the Lord's got this funny thing with me that it all comes together in the last second. So I have all these ideas, and then it just comes together, and I'm not really allowed to just speak from notes. It just doesn't work. I do have some messages that I've repeated in the past because it's like a core message, but when I come here especially, I just feel like I'm supposed to speak from the heart, because this is a family that lives from the heart, right? And so thank you for that, because I'll get into it, but what a beautiful display of your gift and what it's extended. You know, it's not just art, but it's a spiritual extension of strength, and just what you painted is strength, right? So thank you for that. I can't tell you how much that means to me. And then I want to thank Jay also, because last time I was here, I got one of his devotionals, and now this is volume 2 of it. And I was just looking through it, and I'm like, everything I looked at has to do with what I'm going to speak about today. I even put a bookmark in it already, so thank you so much. What a beautiful thing. And if you don't have one, you should probably just get one from him. I'm just going to promote him right now as an author. Like, you should get one of these. It's absolutely beautiful. I read a few of them, and I'm like, this is amazing. 90 days. Journey. And so I just think everybody needs to get one of these. But thank you for always being kind to me. And this is just nice of you. So I'm shook up. What in the world? I haven't even done anything yet, guys. This is ridiculous. I'm going to keep it short today, because I just feel like I know she's laughing at me. I think I can do that. Okay, so I'm going to give you a short little history of leading up. So last year, how many of you were here last year when I spoke? Okay, good. Wow. Jeez. How many weren't? Maybe that's the better question. So I'll just catch a few of you up. So we went through as a family 23 years of full-time ministry. And before we came last year, maybe a year before, I don't know, somewhere. Anyway, when I came last year, I've gone through one of the toughest years of just betrayal and loss, and I mean, just go through the gamut of things that you could add to those words. And came here limping, came here pretty destroyed and raw, and still trusted to get up and just share. And I was like, you know, not feeling fit for the job. But you guys were gracious enough to just let me be honest with you and kind of walk through the process in front of you. And I got so much breakthrough, and thank God that other people did too, just about being honest with where you're at, right? Like, just, it's okay not to be okay. And it's okay not to be okay for a period of time, right? Not like just one day and then you're like, I'm okay, and be churchy about it, right? Like, God's good, brother, all the time, God's good, right? Like, sometimes it's okay to not be able to say that and be in family still, right? Or to come in limping and angry and be honest with where you're at and not have someone try to fix you, but someone just let you lean on them, right? Yeah. Guys, if we just stop right now, what I just said is probably one of the most important things you can get in a body. If you can be that shoulder, we try to fix, especially men, we try to fix everything, right? We try to fix our wives if they have something going on. We're like, let me fix you. And I'm like, if you've been in marriage for any period of time, you know that doesn't actually work. In fact, in many situations, it'll compound the issue because you're like, let me fix you. And that just doesn't work. And I think that carries over into church too, that when people are suffering or people are in pain, out of a good heart, we try to fix them. But the greatest thing you can do is just mourn with those who mourn and rejoice with those who rejoice and walk with each other, understanding that you're not the fixer, but you've been called to partner with God in compassion for people. And God is the one that's walking them through the journey. And if I've learned anything in these last couple years, that the journey is the most important thing. The destination actually doesn't really exist. The journey is the daily destination. And God is bringing people through a journey. And when we try to step in and fix people, we're actually robbing them of the experience of the journey that God is bringing them through. Does that make sense? So I spoke last year. I felt like I had a massive breakthrough. I stood up here and like even had a little bit of rejoicing. And for me, I want to get through things quick, right? How many of you, you're like, okay, I'm done now. I'm fine. I'm good. Like you just stapled the leg back on and we'll walk, right? Here we go. You know, you're like, oh, God. But so I felt like that last year. Like, here we go. I'm good now, right? Like had a good Sunday and now I'm good. And I'll be honest with you. This last year has been one of the hardest, not because things were fresh, but because there were so many layers of things inside me that still needed to be uprooted and tilled up from the ground. We farm and garden, and we're trying to take God's system or God's like the way that He does thing design and do it in our farm, right? Instead of chemicals and fertilizers and, you know, bigger, faster, fatter is what the American logo is for food. We're trying to do it God's way, and we're not killing weeds with spray. We're like, weeds are just things that grow in places you don't want them to grow. There's not really such thing as a weed, right? Because grass in your lawn, you're like, yay, grass in your garden, you're like, ah, you know? So we're trying to do it that way. And I'll tell you this, like, there's things that are coming out of our ground that the owner before us, it's a 1925 farmhouse, that we kind of gutted and rebuilt. But so the first owner was the original people for our entire area that kind of owned the whole area and everything. And I tell you, there's things coming out of the ground that was from when they were there that they're just coming up out of the ground. I'm talking like old cobalt blue little jars with little, you know, like, and then like these little old glass aspirin bear bottles like this big, and old pottery, and things are coming out of the ground. I found a parts of a, I don't know how, 1920s, 30s car out in our woods, you know? I'm like, holy cow, that thing sat there so long, it's now like, it's become part of the world around it, right? It's no longer, it's flat with the ground. I just happened to trip over part of it, and I started pulling things, and I'm like, oh my gosh, there was a car here, right? But how many, and an old radio flyer wagon, but you can't move it. It's just a piece of it, and if you move it, it just falls apart because it's been there so long. But how many of you know, like, that kind of is like our lives, right? Because we're really good at kind of partially processing things and then just moving forward, because pain is hard, and the process is hard, and time is hard, especially in an instant world. Right, I mean, we were talking, me and Matt and Aaron were talking, but we have at our fingertips at all points in time all of the news around the world, most of it tragic and bad, and we are not built mentally and emotionally, we are not built for that. Like, we do not, it's crazy how much is going on, and we want things quick. Like, the fact that he just showed me yesterday this in his office, because he got a turkey, and he showed me this, and I'm like, that's so cool, because he was showing me how he did his, and I'm like, okay, that's what I'm going to do, and now this morning it's here in my hand, is super weird. Like, put it in your cart online, and somehow this little, like, cart fairy goes, yeah, cool, you want that? I'll bring it to you this morning, right? Like, how in the world? Where did this come from, first of all? Well, yes, Amazon, but physically, it wasn't in Ohio when you ordered it. It was somewhere, and now it's here, physically in my hand. And that's how we are, right? We've gotten very accustomed to this, that everything is instant. The problem with instant is not God's design. I love that, right? I'm like, thank you. I'll thank Jesus for like instant on Amazon. But when it comes to our lives, we are not designed for instant. Some things happen instantly, and we would call it a miracle, and I'm like, I'll rejoice with you on that. But I'll tell you this, life is not instant. And if you try to apply instant to the things that are going on inside you, you will find yourself skipping a process that God has so graciously put in front of you to help you heal and grow and become whole. But we jump past it. And I'll tell you this, if you jump past it, life will give you an opportunity to come back around and look at it again and again and again and again until you finally just give up and go, okay, fine. Here I am, right? You jump over the mud puddle enough times, and then finally you realize, like, I just need to sit down in this thing and figure out, like, why do I keep revisiting this same thing? Why am I holding on to this emotion? Why can't I get past that betrayal? Why do I still feel like there's a knife wound in my back? And I'll tell you this, because the process waits patiently for you. God's not in a hurry. We're in a hurry. Like, he lives outside of time and space. God is eternal. He's got all the time in the world and then some, right? Like, I heard eternity described one time as if you had the largest mountain in the world, and every 1,000 years a bluebird flew by and brushed its tail at the top of that mountain. When that mountain finally was whittled down to a grain of sand, that's a second in eternity. And I was like, oh, God, that's dumb. Like, that is so much time, but that's not even a second in eternity, because there's no seconds in eternity. It's eternal, right? So God's got so much time. Time doesn't exist. He's outside of it. So that's why God is so patient with your process. We're the ones that are impatient. So getting back to what I was saying, like, this last year has been rough, dude. Like, going from 23 years of full-time ministry and getting used to that, and your whole life set around that, and financially set around that, and everything, like, you know how to do that. I have a skill. And that was it. And then everything changes in a moment, and not even from our own doing, but someone else's choice they made towards us, and then we are no longer in that situation, right? And I'll tell you, for me, it was a best friend that did it, right? And so it's this deep wounding, deep hurt, and unrepentant hurt. And so when I came here last year, I had so much anger that I was still trying to, I mean, I couldn't tell God he was good. I couldn't get it out, because every time I try, I would grit my teeth with this, because I had so much anger inside of me, and I wanted it to be done, right? I wanted it to be done so that I could just be like, I'm good. But that's just not how it worked. And this last year has been a process. It's been a process for my kids. It's been a process for my wife. It's been a process for our family. It's been a process for some of our closest friends. It's like, it's been this process. And the statement that I made to these guys, like, dude, thank you so much. But the statement I made to these guys, getting a turkey, and non-hunters won't understand that. First of all, the feeling of having this, yeah, it's a turkey, but it's a turkey, because like, you're trying to track these wild birds down, and they're just goofy as can be, but they're also so elusive. And like, how is this 40-pound bird so elusive? But that moment, so I'll just paint it for you. Matt sent me to a place on his property that he knew was going to be good, and he went somewhere else. Aaron, they both set me up in this place, and I knew, like, they're putting me in a good spot. And it's dark when you get out there. I walk up the hill, two turkeys fly off from the trees, and I'm like, dang it, I ruined it all, right? I thought, it's over now. I just busted them. They're gone. I could hear them both opposite directions, and I was like, no. I mean, you're up before the sun for a reason, and now that reason's gone, I'm like, dang it, I should be asleep now, you know? And so I just kind of like walked up the hill thinking I ruined it all. Like a clumsy child, I walked through the woods and scared everything off. And so I just sat down where they told me to sit anyway, and I was facing uphill, and I was like, well, I made all that noise. Maybe I'll do a turkey call, and they'll think it was a turkey stumbling through the woods like a lost child. And so I'm like, meh, meh, meh. You know, I did the whole call, and on both sides of me at the bottom of this massive hill that I was on, like far away, I hear, right? I can't do it. Thanks. That was my best shot. But if I get any louder, it will not sound like a turkey. That was a quiet example. So I'm like, oh my gosh, they're here, you know? But I thought they're so far away, there's no possible way. And they're not going to come back up that mountain. I wouldn't come back up that mountain. I don't care who's calling me, right? Like, it's like that. And so I'm like, okay, I'll call again. And they call back. I'm like, my gosh, I'll call again. They call back. And I'm like, this is fun, you know? It's like, and I noticed they're getting closer and closer. So I turn around the other side of the tree because they're coming from below me. And I'm like, oh my gosh, oh my gosh. And I'm talking myself down. I'm like, don't do what you would normally do. Like, don't get too excited. Don't just pull the trigger, you know, like wait till it's in range. Like, I'm freaking out. And then two toms come emerging out of the woods in front of me. Two, not one, two come emerging out, all puffed up. Like, their heads turned different colors. The one I shot had blue and purple all over its head and red, and the other one was dark red, and they're all puffed up, and they start walking towards me, and then they fan their tail out. One of them fans its tail out. It's strutting, right? It's like doing this thing. It's like, where's Michael? Good Lord, man. Look at that dude's arms. So it's kind of like him. You turkey, you young turkey. It's gobbling, and it's like, it's just a display of, like, he's got cabbages on each arm. Like, it's like a, I told him, I said, dude, you have like a 9-month-old child's head on each arm. Like, you, I told him, touch your shoulders. I can do that. Can you do that? I can touch my shoulders, Michael. Can you touch your shoulders? Yeah, yeah. So funny. Anyway, this thing's like him, you know, it's walking up, and I can have fun with him because I know him, but also don't squeeze me or break my ribs or bear hug me or anything like that. So anyway, it's walking up the hill all puffed up, and it's walking towards me, and I'm like, oh my gosh, oh my god, contain yourself, Thompson, don't be dumb, right? Because you get too excited, you just scare him off. And it kept coming, and it kept coming at me, and then it stopped and turned around, and I was like, and it's like turns again, and it's coming towards me. I'm like, oh my gosh. And it got close enough, and I, you know, executed. And and I'm sorry if you don't hunt. If you get your meat from the store where they make it, that's whatever, that's on you. But we shop in God's grocery store. Arise, kill, and eat. It's in the Bible. Yes, that is a verse in the Bible. And I'm like, yes. So it's so cool. I sent pictures to everybody. I'm like, check it out. I actually sent a video to them of it's not alive anymore, but the body has a response after death that it kind of does things. And it's for turkey hunting, it's called the flop. You can't stop the flop is what they say. So I just sent a video of it flopping to them because I was like, my gosh. Yeah, I know. It's weird for people that don't hunt sad, right? I know. One day I too will flop probably, right? So maybe somebody will send a video to their friend. I don't know. That's insensitive, but I'm talking about myself. But it was this epic moment, and I'm making fun of it, and it's light and fun. But honestly, when I walked up to the thing, I could just feel a change of season happen right there. And it wasn't one, it was two. Like, I could take my pick at that moment, which is so weird. First turkey I've ever gotten in my life. I've hunted a lot of things. First turkey ever, because they're elusive. Like a 40-pound bird flies up in a tree, and then you can't find it all day long, and you chase it, and it's like, how many miles did we put on the next day? Four or five miles through insane terrain. But I could feel this season change, and I text them both, and I was just so, I said, thank you guys so much. I'm like, this is a, it's a change of season. I'm like, it's been a long winter, right? We're not talking real winter. We're talking life's winter, and it's lasted for years. And I'll tell you, this last year, I've worked so hard at, I have two jobs and both trades, I've worked so hard just to come up short of our bills every month, right? Like, just work yourself to the bone just to try to make ends meet, and then start, and then you pay your mortgage and everything, and you've started not over but a little bit further back than you started, right? Like, you're like, oh, you got to go to work earlier then. Like, you're just working. And they made fun of, like, a joke about Atlanta traffic. But, dude, I drive an hour to an hour and a half to 2 hours to work every single day because it's a different location every day. And I'm Atlanta traffic. We live out in the country because that's what we like. And I have to deal with Atlanta traffic. And I'm, like, lose my salvation every day. And I told Aaron, I've just joined them. Like, I'll be like, get out of the fast lane, Margaret. You know, like, come on. You can't go 50 in the fast lane. Like, I've got my thing cruise control set at 80 miles an hour because that's the flow of traffic, and Margaret's just singing along like, here he comes riding on. I'm like, move it. Sorry. She's probably sweet as can be, right? And she's probably saved my life. I don't know. But so that's my commute. And you just work and work and work and work and work. And I'll tell you this. This is the message. So there, I found a few keys, and they're brand new. And so, and I know these things. I've preached them 1,000 times, right? But life will give you the opportunity to actually learn at a deep place the things that we say so easily out of our mouths, right? God is good. Is he? He is. We don't trust anybody that doesn't walk with a limp. This is the thing with life. None of us are immune. And if you're on a mountaintop, then praise God, that is freaking amazing, right? Freaking's not a bad word. It sounded bad when I said it's not a bad word. It's just a couple letters put together. It sounds like something else. It's not a bad word, I promise. I said it, and then I felt bad when I said it, so I had to follow with that. If you're on a mountaintop, I rejoice with you. But if you're in the depths of the valley floor and it feels like the desert, then I'm looking you in the eyes going, I know, right? It's hard. It is hard. And life is no respecter of people. Like, life will give you an opportunity to learn these things. And pain happens to all of us, right? Loss happens to all of us. I just lost my grandfather a couple months ago, and he was a sign of a father to me, you know? And so while he lived a 95-year life and just cool, like, just such a good dude, showed me what married to my grandmother since she was, like, 13. It's not even legal anymore, right? I was like, 13? I'm like, when Ava was 13, I'm like, can you just, like, do the dishes or something once for, like, a chore, you know? My grandma's out, like, yeah, 13. Like, I don't think they even had electricity when she was 13. I don't know. But they were, you know, like, 13, you're an adult. And they showed me what marriage was like. They showed me what family was like. Just awesome. And I lost them, and it was just another hit. And then we had a young man that our kids grew up with. That was just recently shot and killed. And one of the last things they heard him say to the person that shot him, he was inviting him to church. I'm like, wow. Like, and this young man didn't grow up with Jesus, but we got to see him get radically wrecked by God in the last year before his death. And he just became on fire, and I would see him all the time, and he would just talk about God. And I'm like, this is amazing, right? But it was a massive loss. It was a withdrawal. And we just had a year of just, it felt like, honestly, I would have told you, it feels like everything I touch turns to junk, right? Like, everything I work for feels like it falls short. What is going on? I felt almost cursed, right? Like, why is this? And I'll tell you one of the things that I've realized, like, breakthrough doesn't come from your own strength. And we're really good at trying to make things happen, and we're really good at working hard and then wondering, why is this not working for me? Like, why? I'm working my hands to the bone, but I'm getting no traction. And that has worn me out to the point where I've found myself going, okay, God, I can't do it. And I'll tell you, in that place right there where you finally come to where you say, I can't do it, you have something that's plagued you. We talked about it this morning, like sin, like issues that you just can't get over, the repetitive thing. And you're like, I just can't break this thing off. It's because you just can't break it off. You can't. You've tried your thing. And then we were talking about, and then shame attaches itself to that place, right? You can't break it off. He is the only one. And when we come to the end of ourselves, we finally realize that it's not in your strength, but in his. And I've preached this 1,000 times to thousands of people, and I've preached it because I felt like I've walked through it, and I felt like I owned it. And now it's a deeper level of walking where I'm like, was so angry, I couldn't even say God was good. And I still have days where I'm like just mad, right? And angry doesn't work well for me. It doesn't look good on me. It wears you out. By the way, this is Ava, my only daughter. Well, I have a daughter-in-law now, and she's beautiful and amazing too. But the one that we birthed is right here. And this is my wife, Lacey. By the way, just in case you guys were wondering where they are, there they are. In all their beauty and glory. Lacey doesn't share this often. I feel like I can share it, but you know, Lacey deals with physical issues too. Please don't try to fix her, and please don't try to tell her that she's doing something wrong, but because that's ridiculous and it's not God. But you know, Lacey deals with some neurological issues that causes her a lot of pain, and I want to fix that too. And I've prayed for her a million times, right? And everybody has. But the greatest thing I can do, which I just started doing all over again, is going, here she is, God. Because she's my wife, but she was first his, right? Like the verse that says, we love him because he first loved you. Get that verse, because that means it's everything is like that. I have a wife because he first had her, and he's still hers. He just trusts me to walk alongside her for the journey that we're on, right? Like, I have a daughter and two sons and now a new daughter, and they're in my life, but they are not mine. They're not my possessions. He just trusts me to walk alongside them because they're his. And if we can learn this thing where we can give the things back that we value so much and we work so hard for and we want to protect so much, if we can daily give them back to his, you'll find one of the biggest keys and breakthroughs in life. So I have to give my wife to God every day, and I'm not good at it because that's my wife and I want to protect her, right? Like, you get in her face, I'm going to punch you, right? Like, that's my reaction. I have to give her to God, right? You're smiling because you know it. I got to give her to God. Like, and I would punch you if you got in my wife's face, probably, right? Like, but I have to give her to God. I have to give my kids to God. And that's a lesson. I have to give myself to God. Because I can't fix me either. So I went to this men's retreat last week. I'm just rambling, but I hope this is speaking to you, because life is full of hallelujahs, but the part we don't talk about is life is full of maybe cuss words. I don't know, right? I'm not saying any of you cuss. Maybe cuss words. Or maybe that same feeling, right? And we don't talk about that a lot. And we're not real honest about that a lot, right? Because we want people to feel good about us too. We're pretty addicted to feeling good. It feels good to feel good. Nobody wants to feel bad, right? I'll tell you what, though. In this process, depression became a companion of mine for a while. And anger became a companion of mine, and it was almost like a safety and a protection. We've got to learn how to walk through the process. We've got to learn how to extend patience to ourselves. We've got to learn how to extend a little bit of mercy to ourselves and quit holding the ruler of what we think is expected and trying to stand up to it. We've got to sit in the process. So I went to this men's retreat last week, and the first time I went was last year, right before I came here. But I went to this men's retreat, and it's a bunch of dudes, and I can't invite you. It's not my thing, and it's a very closed group, and I got invited. I don't know how, and so I can't invite you. I cannot invite you. So I know when I talk about it, dudes are like, I want to go to that. And I can't invite you. I wish I could. I wish I could invite everybody. But it's a bunch of dudes that walk with a limp. Most of them have been in full-time ministry for a long time and got crushed. And now they all meet together not to whine and complain about all the things that have happened to them, but to stand and extend strength to each other and walk with each other and be like, it's okay to be mad right now. It's okay, but you're not going to stay there because we're going to grab you by the arm and we're walking with you. This is going somewhere, right? And so last year I had this huge breakthrough, just crumbled, and then came here and cried the whole time like you guys let me do. This year, last week, I did the same thing. Went there, had once again more breakthrough and cried, and then I come here and cry. It's such a weird process now. Let's just not do the crying next year. Let's just laugh maybe. I don't know. If you're crying, we'll cry. But I walked in my room. They give us all rooms. It's up at Prayer Mountain in Moravian Falls, North Carolina, where the Moravians prayed for 100 years, 24/7 for 100 years. Holy moly, right? And so we meet up there at Morningstar's like lodge up there, and we stay there for a few days, and it's just a bunch of dudes being honest with where they're at and other dudes coming along and just being a shoulder or a strength or an arm or a like pick me up or I'll sit in the mud puddle with you. And I'll just listen to you. It's one of the most amazing things ever. And I walked in my room, and the verse, the Bible, so all the rooms have Bibles open, right? Because it's Morningstar's Lodge. And I walked in the room, And the chapter that it was open to is Job 39, which if you're familiar with Job 39, I have a war horse tattooed on my arm because when I was traveling full-time and doing crazy things and you know, the kid that grew up poor and never knew what a passport was traveling the world, like, what is this? You know, unbelievable. I got that tattooed on my arm because in Job 39 it says, "Do you give the horses strength? Do you cause him to paw at the ground? Do you make him unafraid in the day of battle when the spear and the lance rattle at his side and he snorts and eats up the ground and charges into battle fearless? Do you give the horse his strength?" It's when God's speaking to Job. And so I got that tattooed on my arm because I wanted to have the reminder that it's not in me and it's not my own strength, but it's in him, right? And in mountaintops, it's like, it's not me. And in the valley, it's not me. And I've had an opportunity to walk through it again. So I walked through in this room, and it's open to Job 39, and I'll read a little bit of it. And I was just blown away by it. And I literally sat on the bed with tears in my eyes, and I'm like, you got to be kidding me, right? Because I've still been pretty angry at times, and I've still been doing it my own way for a while, like just trying to make it work and working my butt off, like drove both of our cars into the ground. They barely run, right? I put so many miles on my car in the last year, it's unbelievable. And so I read this verse. I want you to hear some of it. Am I in Job? Yes, I'm in Job. Job 39. I'm just going to start at verse 19. I want you, it's, where am I? There we go. Sorry, I read way too much of it, so I'm down a couple chapters. Here we go. So I'm going to start in verse 19, and I just want to read this to you, and I want this to be a reminder to you. And if it's not a reminder, if it's a first time hearing it, then I want you to hear this, because God has an order, and God is in control, and God has set everything in motion, and God watches it, and it is his perfect order that's happening in nature. And you can see all around us man's intent to control, right? You can see it in everything we build. You can see it in everything we do. Man comes in and goes, I can do this better. But there's an order to God, and it's such a great reminder. So I want to read this to you. Job 39:19. Do you give the horse his might? Do you clothe his neck with a mane? Do you make him leap like the locust? His majestic snorting is terrifying. He paws in the valley and exults in his strength. He goes out to meet the weapons. He laughs at fear and is not dismayed. He does not turn back from the sword in the day of battle. Upon him rattle the quiver, the flashing spear and the javelin. With fierceness and rage, he swallows the ground. He cannot stand still at the sound of the trumpet. When the trumpet sounds, he says, aha, which I think that's so funny, a horse, aha. Anyway, that's me. He smells the battle from afar, the thunder of the captains and the shouting. Is it by your understanding that the hawk soars and spreads his wing toward the south? I got a hawk tattooed on me too. Don't get tattoos, kids. it's the last thing I want you to get a tattoo because you saw me have them. And spreads his wings towards the south. It is at your command that the eagle mounts up and makes his nest on high. On the rock he dwells and makes his home, on the rocky crag and stronghold. From there he spies out the prey. His eyes behold it from far away. His young ones suck up blood. And where the slain are, there he is. Awesome, thanks. I read that because it's a reminder, like, God is God and we are us. And when we get those two things confused, we start to lose traction, but we're just burning the tires off the car, right? Going, why is it not working? And I've been there this last year, and if I tell you anything, that's the beauty of that painting. Like, that is the verse that was in my heart, and I threw it in the trash coming here because I thought, no, I'll speak about something else. Last year I cried, right? Yeah, last year was lost. Now it's springtime, and God's like, nope, you're going to do it. And I'm like, could we talk about something else, right? And again, I say rejoice. Like, that's awesome. I do. I love God. But you painted that this morning, and I think there's such depth to what you painted because it's a reminder. Like, that horse stands there so proud, and you've even got, like, blood red here and, like, different colors on it, and everything around it is gray, but the horse is lit up. And it's just a reminder today, like, the horse has its strength because God gives it to it. And if we could be like the horse and understand that your strength doesn't come from you and you can't muster it up. In the Bible it says, so that no man should boast. Like, you do not have strength in you. Even Michael, who could probably pick up a car, great display of strength, but when it comes down to it, heart matters. All that muscle doesn't help heart matters. But it's cool, dude. The only thing that can meet you in the heart is the love of God. And the only way you get through these things in this process is by embracing that love and just giving up. The most strong place you can find yourself in is the place of abandon in front of God. Everything else is added from there. Anything added without that place is all loss. So if you hear anything from me this morning, like in that place of loss, the greatest thing you can do is open your arms up, surrender to him. Lacey and I were talking about it, just becoming bare before the Lord and going, God, you can search me and you can see anything inside me. I give you permission. I open up. Like he can see it anyway, but there's something powerful about, God, I give you permission. Here it is. Even in your anger, God, I give you permission. The person that hurt us the most, you know, a few years ago was a great friend and now feels like an enemy, right? Like, well, not now, but it felt like an enemy. And God calling us to forgive. And I'm like, no, I'm not letting them off the hook. Like, they really did those. And I preach this stuff, guys. They really did those things. And they really did it on purpose. And they really hurt us. And they knew how it would affect our family. And they did it anyway. And so me in my strength says, no, I'm not letting them off the hook. If they just did it to me, it would be easy, right? I would let them off the hook. But it's my wife who already deals with enough crap. Sorry, stuff. You say that? I don't know. Bless him, Lord. Thank you. She already deals with enough. She's got enough. And they pointed some of the stuff at her, and it hurt her. And my kids had to walk through this, and it affected us in a thousand ways, not just, yeah. And so I'm like, no, they hurt my family. I'm not letting them off the hook. But what does God do? He waits patiently in that ugly mud puddle. And I sit there and I splash around and I'm like, I'm not doing it right. And he's like, all right, I'll be right here. And I'm like, nope, I'm going to just go to work. Work's a great distraction, right? But it's a filthy liar when you use it that way, because it numbs you to the reality of what's actually going on inside of you, because you get busy. And busy is great, but busy was introduced in the garden by the devil, and he said that you will toil. Busy is a tool of the enemy. Because busy distracts you from the real matters, and the matters are the heart. And busy will keep you busy. And busy will keep you numb to what's really going on. And so I've gotten really good at that. But when you stop long enough to realize you're still in that same mud puddle, and God's still sitting there, and he's not mad at you. He's not angry. He hasn't turned his back and said, okay, when you can figure this one out, you let me know, and then I'll turn back around. That is not the God that we serve. He's right there with you, and he mourns with you as you mourn. He rejoices with you as you rejoice, and he waits patiently for you. And so when I finally realized he's still sitting in that mud puddle, we couldn't call the people because that wasn't an option, and we couldn't sit with them because that wasn't an option, so we sent a text, and we just said, we want you to know that we completely forgive you. And it may have been more for us than them. I don't know. I don't know their reaction. I don't know how they felt about it, but we completely forgive you. We release you from all judgment that we've had against you. We release you from all of our anger. And we ask that you would do the same for us. Forgive us if we've hurt you in any way. Forgive us if we've made you angry or all this stuff, right? And the text we got back wasn't fulfilling at all. It was the most churchy answer, which I'm not into, especially now. And I was like, ah! But you know what? It wasn't about them at that point. It was about them. You know, the Bible says if you forgive them, they'll be forgiven. Wow. If you don't forgive them, they won't be forgiven? Holy smokes. I don't want that. I don't want the responsibility. But the Bible also talks about if you don't forgive, how will you be forgiven? Like, if you don't extend forgiveness, how will you be forgiven? I'll tell you this, the powerful thing about forgiveness is when you can forgive even through gritted teeth, right? Like, I forgive every day until finally my teeth would open up, right? And you can just say, I forgive them. I forgive them. I forgive them. We were just talking last night. The last time we saw this person was just a couple months ago, and I actually walked away from that and felt bad. Like, I saw their eyes, and I felt bad. Like, I had the beginnings of compassion towards a person that I said it earlier, you get in my wife's face, I would rather punch you, right? I had compassion towards this person. So it's starting to work. Something's starting to work. But it's a process, guys. Just because you say I forgive you doesn't mean you're fine and everybody's good and they can be trusted right back in that same spot. And here you go. We'll just put ourselves right back there. Oh, you still have a knife in your hand. That's fine. I'm just going to sit next to you. Like, that's not how this works. And that's what makes it hard. You got to keep forgiving. Some of us just need to forgive God. Because some of us feel like he put a knife in our back, right? And so we've got to sit in that mud puddle and just finally abandon all those feelings, like just give it to him and open up. And some of us need to forgive God. And if it starts with gritted teeth or clenched jaws, then fine, start there. But keep doing it. Keep bringing yourself back to that place where I'm not going to just march in my own strength like a big boy, right? I'm going to sit and I'm going to be the most powerful thing I can be. I'm going to be completely open before the Lord, even though I don't feel it inside. Your feelings are a liar a lot of times. Feelings are great, but sometimes your feelings will lie to you because your feelings will be like, just get up and march forward, right? Oh, he's wrong. You're the victim. You're not a victim of anything unless you choose to be. And things really do happen to us at the hand of other people, right? I'm not saying they don't. I'm not saying that didn't happen. But I'm saying for you to sit there and stay there, that's your choice. You're not a victim. That's your choice. You're very powerful. He's made you very powerful. So start where you're at. If you have to forgive him, start forgiving him. If you have to forgive yourself, I dare you to start doing it. If you have to forgive your spouse or your kids or your parents or your coworker, your boss, your pastor, forgive your pastor now. These are good people. These are good people. These are really good people. They have the ability to make you really mad, though, because they're still people. They have the ability to disappoint you because they're still people. They have the ability to make you laugh. They have the ability to make you, you know, like, be excited. They have because they're people. We all do. But if you have something, I would challenge you today, forgive your pastors. If you left somewhere because of what a pastor did you, forgive them. I'm telling you this today because there's so much that'll be unlocked inside of you when we can do this thing, when we can open up and go, I give up, meaning I give up what I've done in my own strength. Dude, you're amazing, man. You got baptized today. Like, stay on that road. Don't let this stuff get in your way. And when it does, forgive quickly. Like, just, I'm stubborn. Don't be stubborn. It doesn't have to take 2 years to finally say it, right? Like, start as soon as you can. If you've got something in there, the reason that it's still in there and the reason it feels like it's eating you up is because, and it feels like it's holding you captive, is because you're holding hands with it like a companion. And that's what I did. And I didn't realize it. Like, I was walking down the road with it like it was my friend. And it binds you up. And it controls you. We need to remember who we are and who he is. My strength does not come from within me. My strength comes from him. My breakthrough comes from him. And when I can get that, and I know I've said it over and over, and just sit down in that place and go, okay, God, I'm done running. I'm done running from myself. I'm done running from you. I'm done running from pain. I'm done running from issues. When I can walk through the middle of pain instead of trying to skirt around it, I will experience the greatest breakthrough in my life. I can tell you, I feel like I've been born again last year, and then I feel like I've been born again this year. And it's happening. It's working. And it's been a process, and it's been hard. And there's times where I felt like giving up completely, right? Like, there's times where I felt like this is not worth it. What are we doing? And there's times where it falls short, and you're like, this is ridiculous. God, have you turned your back on me? You know what the greatest thing you can do is be honest. Like, say that. God, have you turned your back on me? Because it's how you really feel instead of coming up with a churchy answer for him. God, have you turned your back on me? It's okay to be honest with God. He's not afraid of your honesty. You do not scare the Lord. The horse being fearless and charging into battle is just a reflection of what God's like. He's not afraid of anything. He is fearless, and your emotions are not big enough to sway him. He will sit right there with you, unafraid, and he will not turn his back on you. All you have to do is be honest with him. Be honest with the Lord. There's such breakthrough in that. Yes, it's amazing. The greatest deliverance you'll ever experience in your life, probably, you know, it doesn't have to come from a prayer room. It can come from you finally just letting go. That old saying, let go and let God. I'm like, yeah, cool saying, right? Put it on a bumper sticker until it's so deep inside of you that you're like, that's all I can do right now. God, I let go. I'm letting go of my wife. I'm not letting go of my wife. I'm letting her go to you. Like, you, she's yours, God. My kids, man, I'm so protective of my kids. But I just have to say, God, they're yours. However hard that is, my disappointments, they're real. And if I let them go, then somehow they're not real anymore. It's not true. My disappointments, God, here you go. I give them to you. Every one of my successes, They're not my successes. God, here you go. I give it to you. And it's hard, especially in the middle of it, but it gets easier. And it gets easier. And I can tell you this, there's a season change right now. And I'm not just telling you that because it actually is spring. I'm telling you, there is a season change right now happening. God's got his hand out right now. It's not a handout, it's a hand up. And I'm telling you, if you can grab a hold of this thing, there is breakthrough available. There is strength available. There is love that is bigger than all of it available. Love that covers a multitude of sins and disappointments and mistakes and failures and all the stuff, right? Have you seen how many things have come out with pastors lately? Big leaders. I tell you this. The reason things come out publicly is because someone holds on to it inside and never lets it go. I'm telling you guys. It has to come out somehow, some way, sometime. It has to. You can't hold it in, right? Your little teapot, short and stout, and that thing will scream eventually because it gets hotter and hotter and hotter, right? Until you pour it out, that's when the screaming stops. When you open up, that's when you can feel the relief of being taken off the heat because it's not in your strength. And we're seeing a public display of a shaking in the church, and we're seeing leaders fall. And I'm telling you, the greatest thing you can do is abandon yourself before the Lord. Carrie Underwood, take the wheel. Jesus, take the wheel. Like, don't just take the wheel. I'm going to get in the trunk, God. I don't know where we're going, but you're in control. I'm going to get in the trunk, and I'm going to close the trunk, and I'm going to try to just take a nap because rest is really good right now because I've worn myself out, God. It's a season change. I'm going to read you a couple more verses just to make this legal, and then we're going to be done. What time did I get up here? I didn't keep it short. I tried. I really did, guys. I start talking, that's the problem. Proverbs 3, 5 through 6. Trust the Lord with all of your heart and lean not on your own understanding. Because what seems right to us is usually the opposite of what's right in the sight of God, right? You hurt me, I'm not just going to let that go. Actually, you hurt me, I'm going to be a display of love in front of you because somewhere in there when you are hurting me, it's because you're hurting also. And so I'm going to be a display of love that looks you right in the eyes when you try to hurt me. I mean, Jesus on the cross, dying, spitting on him, throwing things, mocking him, cursing him. And he says what? Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. When we can become more like him and look in the face of our accuser and look in the face of our betrayer and be a true sign of love and have compassion in our eyes. I'm working on it, guys. I'm telling you, it's a hard one. But when we can do that and be a display of love, I'll tell you, you will live freer than free. You will live without restraint. It'll be like your wings have spread for the first time and you've taken flight on the wind that the Lord has provided. I'm telling you, when we can do that, that's what we're going towards. We're not going towards platforms and gifts. We're going towards God. It's been painful. But in that pain, I found you. And in that place of, I have nothing left, I found your strength. And now I can look in the eye of my accuser and I can say, I love you. As they spit, as they throw their stones, as they try to crucify you, you're worth being loved. That is the most unnatural place to be in the mind of a man, right? Because we do what's right in our sight. But if we can do what's right in his sight, so much of the time it's opposite of what we think. And there's such power in it. And while the person across from you maybe get set free because you look in their eyes with love, I'll tell you, the person that's getting set free the most will be yourself. It's what we're called to. There is a strength in the abandonment of what I think is right and holding on to him and going, I trust you even though this seems ridiculous. Can you stand with me? I want to pray for you guys. Like, I really want to rejoice with you, but I really want to give us a moment also that we can be available to mourn with those who mourn, right? And if it's you, it's okay. If you don't have any strength to stand, then sit. It's okay to sit right now too. You don't have to do church calisthenics just because the guy up front asked you to. Like, be true to where you are, but be open to where you are. Like, be open to him in where you are. Be open even if you're angry. Be open if you're hurt. Be open if you're betrayed. And watch the strength and breakthrough that happens in your life. Can you put a hand on your heart? I know it's time to be done because my wife got up and left. No, I don't know where she went, but she didn't leave. She can't go anywhere. She doesn't have a car. Oh, can you say this with me? First, I want you to do this. If you're in here and you have something that's been plaguing you, whether it's pain, it could be physical pain. Physical pain, betrayal, doubt, hurt, depression. Everything I try just falls short, right? Like I'm working my hands to the bone and I just can't seem to catch up. Whatever it is, like we all have our own thing. We're all going through our own stuff. Nobody's immune to it. But I want you to bring that thing to the forefront right now. I'm not asking us to wallow in it. I'm not asking us to have a pity party, but I want you to bring it to the forefront. And I'm going to challenge you this morning to start to put it out in front of God. Hold it not with a closed hand, but with an open hand. Or even lay it on the ground and take one step away from it. But I would challenge you this morning to grab a hold of that thing. Some of you young people, you've been hurt by friends and you still try to be a good friend. And you've been hurt over and over by friends. And it doesn't make sense because you're a nice person. Why do nice people get hurt? Because sometimes people are mean and sometimes people do mean things. And I'll tell you this, they don't really realize what they're doing, honestly, because if they knew what they were doing, they would be a lot nicer to you because you're a nice person. Whatever it is, I want you to put it out in front of you right now. Man, kids can be brutal too. If you're young in here and you're in high school or junior high or elementary school, kids can be mean. It's true. We've all been through it. We've all experienced it. But I want you to take that person or whatever it is, and I want you to put it out in front of you this morning. I want you to give it to God. And I dare you, even if it's through clenched jaw. Okay, God, here it is. I'm putting it out in front of you, and I'm handing it to you. And I would challenge you to take the next step. And I would challenge you to forgive everyone involved this morning. The first step of it. Because sometimes it's a daily, I forgive them. I forgive them. I forgive them. Because you wake up in the morning, you feel like not much has changed. I forgive them. But I challenge you to start this morning. The greatest thing you can ever do right now is start this morning. Don't be stubborn. Don't be like the mule or the horse. That without a bit in its mouth, it runs off, puts distance between you. Don't be like that. It will not serve you well. It just prolongs the pain. It prolongs the disappointment. It prolongs the spinning of the tires. This morning, let's just put it all down before Him. God, I give it to you. You're in control. I no longer am in control. God, I forgive myself for making stupid decisions that affected me this way. God, I forgive that person for being mean, for betraying me, for hurting me, for abusing me. It doesn't mean it didn't happen. It doesn't mean it wasn't real. It doesn't mean it wasn't painful. It means that, God, I'm picking up your strength this morning. I'm too weak to do this one on my own. So God, I give you them. I give you my anger towards them. I give you my judgments towards them. You're the judge, God. You're mighty in battle. You're full of grace. You're full of mercy. I don't have what it takes, so I give it to you, God. And I agree with your judgment. I say, Father, forgive them. They didn't realize what they were doing, obviously. Forgive your parents, even if they're not alive. Well, they're not alive. What's forgiving them going to do? I'll tell you, it's going to do a whole lot. It's amazing. Father, forgive them. When I got saved, I started forgiving my dad all the time because he wasn't around anymore, right? 13 years old, he left. At 33 years old, in a car with him, I hadn't hung out with him in years and years, but 33 years old in a car with him, he pulled over the side of the road with tears in his eyes and he said, Son, when me and your mom got a divorce, I didn't realize I divorced you and your sister and I left, and I want you to forgive me today. I'm 45 in 2 months. Me and my dad have an amazing relationship. He texts me every day. He calls me all the time. I can't even answer the phone the amount of times he calls. He wants to talk 2 hours a day, right? And I'm like, I'm just working all the time. I'm like, I can't. But how amazing is that? My phone will still ring, and I'll see it says dad on my phone, and I go, oh, because there's still, I mean, it's just so weird to me that I have such a good relationship with my dad. Sometimes it catches me off guard, but I'm telling you, there's something massive about forgiveness. It softens the heart of the accuser. It softens the heart of the betrayer. It softens the heart of the one that abandoned you. And even if there's not a reuniting, and it's okay if that's a thing, like you just can't put yourself back in that place. Even if there's not a reuniting, there's power in forgiving. There's power in letting go. The murderer and the thief on the cross next to Jesus. He looks over and he says, on this day, you will be with me in paradise. That's his wisdom. Ours is so different. You got what you deserve is what we do, right? Jesus, we give it to you. We're not wise. You're wise. We don't give the horses strength. You do. We don't cause the hawk to soar in the sky. You do. We haven't set all this in motion. You have. God is not in the betraying, but God is in the process and the walking through of it. God is not in the pain. He didn't cause it. But I'll tell you what, he stays close right in the middle of it. God is not in the sickness and the disease. I tell you this, he has not distanced himself from you. He has not just taken his hands off and said, have your way with this one. It is not a thing. He is the healer. He is the one that sets us free. But I just can't get past this one thing. That's all right. Let it go. Let God get you past it. I promise you, he's good. So, Father, right now, I thank you for an extension of mercy and grace over this house. I thank you that this is a body. I thank you, God, that they have amazing hearts and that I can see compassion in their eyes, Lord. And I ask that you would teach us how to be strength to the person next to us, not fix the person next to us, but to be strength to the person next to us, God. I ask that you would teach us what it is to be eyes and ears, to see and hear what's happening with someone and sit with them in it and be strength, Lord. God, for those that are hurting, thank you, God, that you come in close. I thank you that you are a good father. I thank you that your heart is for them and not against them. Just like Aaron said, you've made them the head and not the tail, over and not under. You have good things for them. You came to give them life and life more abundant, Lord. So I ask that you would clear up your position and what happened to them, God, that you were not the pain, but you can be found right in the middle of it because, God, you are the answer. And you are the deliverer, and you are the strength, and you are the love, and you are the mercy, and you are the kindness. I'll tell you guys, his kindness is astonishing. I keep saying it to him, I don't understand why you're so kind. I don't understand why you're so kind. I don't deserve this kind of kindness. I don't understand it, God. He is kind. So, Father, I thank you for freedom this morning. I thank you for tears this morning. I thank you for laughter this morning. I thank you, Holy Spirit, for a filling this morning. I thank you for the mountaintops, but God, I even thank you for the valley floor. I thank you for the lush land, but God, I even thank you for the deserts, because it's in that place we find you in a way that we never would have on the mountaintop or in the lush place. God, I thank you that it says in the Bible, even darkness is light to you, because you're not afraid of darkness, God. You're not afraid of the dark places in us. So we invite you in and we say, here we are, God. It's all yours. In Jesus' name. Everybody said? So good. All right, we're going to invite the prayer team up because you got an amazing group of people that want to partner with you. If something sparked in you and you just feel like I need a little bit more this morning, I need to stand with someone, I need to walk with someone right now, I need to open up to someone, come on up. If you got something that's been plaguing your body, pain, sickness, disease, whatever it is, we serve a mighty God. Come on up and get prayer this morning. Don't just take off. Come on up here, take the time, and let's get free this morning together. You came to the right place. This is a healthy house. This is the only place I'll come and speak now. I love you guys. You're amazing. Have a good day.